Hey, beautiful faces, it's me, Sunny Morrison, and welcome to Under the Sun with Sunny. It is a beautiful day, and I am here under the sun in the beautiful Pembroke Pines, Florida. And so on today's show, I am going to do, this is a random show, by the way, and I have a special guest here with me under the sun in the beautiful Pembroke Pines. It is such a sunny day. And I have here with me Miss Tedra Cameron. Hey, Tedra, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, and you? What we're going to talk about today, and this is going to be very brief because after we leave here, we have to go about our day. I want to talk to you all. We want to discuss about the disconnection between Black women, right? That's what we're going to talk about. We really need to find out why our disconnection have been so, you know, severe, where we're not connected the way we were back in the day. And I feel like we're disconnected as far as Black women because of, you know, education status, career status, financial status, you know, residential status. And it gets to the point where sometimes when you achieve these things, we don't start throwing the rope to pull each other up. And then when we get in these higher positions, we start forgetting that, okay, we were once there. So why aren't we, you know, giving each other the, how can I say it, the baton, like you're doing a relay, like it's your turn, you know, it's your turn, queen, come on, I need you to, you know, run this race and meet me at the finish line, you know what I mean? But lately, I've been noticing that there is a big disconnection with Black women, and we really need to, and I know there's all these different women conferences and empowerment and all this other stuff, but I don't see the empowerment, and I don't, afterwards, I don't see it. When you're there, I see it, because that is you in the moment. They're in the moment and they're in the presence, but afterwards, I don't see it, and I see it in the workplace. I see it in the business environment. I see it in the everyday life going out, you know, and it's just getting to the point where we have to really start connecting the dots and supporting each other. What do you think, Tedra?
I absolutely agree. But when you want to talk about where does the disconnect start? I think being an educator, being able to see children and how they develop and how they grow at a younger age, mm-hmm. I think the disconnects start way early on than we mm-hmm. think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was sharing with someone early on mm-hmm. that I'm now in elementary school, mm-hmm. which I've always been in middle or high school, but being able to watch those elementary girls and how they interact with each other, mm-hmm. the disconnect started right there in that classroom.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not corrected
at home. Yeah.
So from there, it's carried on into their adult life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really do think that, you know, we as Black women, we need to, you know, learn how to, you know, encourage each other and actually, you know, be that person to say, hey, you know, listen, I heard about this, you know, opportunity, you know, and they're looking for a specific person or they're looking for people. Hey, why don't you go and check it out? You know, here's the information, do it. We need to start sharing resources just like all these other races, even though I am Cuban descent. Let me tell you about the Cuban descent and my Cuban people, honey. We don't play. Whenever there's something going on, we're going to call the whole village. And everybody is going to know about it. And everybody is going to be pulled up by that rope. But because I was raised in an African-American environment, I see a difference when it comes to the support. We were supportive, you know, back in, you know, those days, like when we didn't have a choice but to support each other. But like I said in the beginning of the show, I really think it has a lot to do with when once we've gotten to a certain status in life, you know, we tend to forget. And I know some people, you can't save everybody. No, you can't. But at the end of the day, I still think we need to get together and form some type of, focus group to see what we need to do as women, you know, because I see a lot of women that has higher positions and I'm career driven and business driven. Okay, so I've been in the workplace, and I've seen women, black women, when they get a higher position, and then how they treat their own opposed to how they treat the others. Can you vouch for that?
Yes, I could definitely relate to that. I've experienced that. I've seen other people experience that. But what we have to do, though, as women, is we have to find a way to come together and decide, like you said, some type of focus group, mm-hmm. some type of community or movement, mm-hmm. Something where we're actually focusing on building that connection,
yeah.
and building that community of women and helping each other, and not just giving somebody a resource. Help them along,
yes.
and not being crabs in a bucket. When
right.
you see somebody escalate, and now you got a problem with them, or you jealous of them, or you know. So
and why would you be jealous if someone is working hard towards accomplishing to get to another level? You should be cheering her on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw last year when there were a lot of black queens winning all these pageants,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and then there was the pageant Miss World. And the young lady who won was Miss Jamaica.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Miss Jamaica, Miss India. And I'm sorry if I'm saying the wrong countries, but I know Miss Jamaica won Miss World. But the top three was Miss Jamaica, Miss Nigeria, I think, and Miss India. So Miss India was second runner-up, and Miss Nigeria was first runner-up. But when they called Jamaica as the winner, Miss Nigeria just lost it. You would have thought she won. She was so excited for her to the point where she was running around the stage, and she went over there and she was just screaming and happy for her and jumping up and down for her and hugging her. That is the type of praise that we need to be
yeah.
doing each other daily,
yeah.
on a daily basis.
It has to be genuine.
And it has to be genuine. And it was so genuine. She got more of the spotlight than the actual winner because it exuded how excited she was for this young lady. And I think that's what we need to start understanding. It's okay to celebrate. Celebrate everyone now. You know, even if you get a job, even if you get a new car, even if you get a new place, you know, even if you are trying to relocate to another location or a new, you know, place out of state or whatever, because it's a journey that you're taking, and everyone should be, you know, well, I'm not going to say everyone, I'm going to say black women, because this subject is about us, you know, trying to connect the dots and tie in the missing strings so that we can actually find a solution to how we are to help each other and how we are to pull each other. When you see a black woman, what is the greeting? When you see a black
yeah.
woman,
well, my greeting mm-hmm. is a hug. I love to hug. And
yes,
I'll quickly say that. I'll be like,
mm-hmm.
I like hugs.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know,
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
but some people are not receptive to
yeah.
that. Some,
yeah.
Because that's not their upbringing.
Right.
That's not their environment.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah,
my greetings are hugs.
And I noticed that too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of that is environmental. But I feel mm-hmm. like at a certain age in your life,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that stuff has to either be dealt with. Because if it's not dealt with, it's just going to continue to fester as you get older. Nothing is going to change. I don't care what facade you put on. You can make your face up. You can wear the longest wig and weaves all you want. But internal, you're still going to have those issues that you have not, you know, resolved. You know, especially as a child or growing up, you know, maybe you were dealing with a lot of, you know, maybe verbal or physical abuse. And it just, you know, they never dealt with it. You know, and I believe a lot of it too has a lot to do with upbringing, as you mentioned, and environmental, you know, where they were raised and how they were raised. And I could tell you on the table, I could tell you, you know, clear that I'm the number 12 of 12. My mom had 12 kids, so I'm number 12. Of 12 kids, yes, they was doing the do, but and we have the same mom and dad, so I have to put that out there because people always say the same mom, yes, the same mom and dad. So, but I do know that majority of my sisters and brothers, they were all born in Jacksonville, and it was only two of us born here in Miami, which is my sister Eve. So when we got down here, I was, you know, a little baby, but growing up, we stayed on 75th Street in Liberty City. We stayed on 17th and 62nd, you know, so we stayed in some of the areas that you wouldn't consider good areas. Yeah, but that's the area that we were raised. So you can't always say you are a product of your environment.
Yes.
It's really up to you. Yes. Because when I tell people that, and I don't have a problem with telling them, hey, I used to stay right here. I used to stay off of 62nd and 17th, and I went to Charles Drew Elementary, and I was there up until I was in the third grade. You know, I lived there up until I was in the third grade. We left there and we moved to Lake Lucerne. And we stayed there until I was in the sixth grade, and we moved to Kara City, now known as Miami Gardens. So I say that to say that you don't always have to use the excuse that it's, you're a product of your environment. It's really who you are and what you want to you know, perceive in life. And I think a lot of women use that as, this is how I was raised. My mom was tough. You know, the area was tough. And so I have to be tough. And I had brothers who were tough. I had six brothers. Okay. And it was no toughness. I mean, they were broke boys, but they knew their boundaries with me. But my other sisters, you know, they were able to, you know, handle it. But all my sisters, everybody, you know, my sisters, my brothers, they had some rough times there. So that's why my mom made it her business to get up and move, you know, because she saw where her sons were going. But all my sisters, we all ended up moving out and ended up creating a narrative of how we wanted our lives to be, whether we went to college or graduated high school or ended up getting a good career and moving on with your life. But even still, if a person has those things lined up, you still should be trying to support, you know, your sister queen, your black sister queen, you know. And I feel like, you know, it's not a competition, but I do feel like sometimes we compete with each other to see who's gonna do it first, you know. And we really gotta stop doing that. So I don't know what ideas you may have that you think we should do, other than me saying a focus group or, you know, but we really have to do better, because right now we are about to get pig feet back for another 4 years. I already see it.
But you know, it's, yes, funny. Sometimes people are not even aware of their behavior.
They're not.
And what they're not even cognizant of what they're doing. So just the lack of knowledge. So the focus group, the community, and building that and educating people. And sometimes people don't realize, oh, I am that way.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I did say, hey, I like your shoes, but I didn't really mean it. Or I did like the shoes, but then I feel they look better on me.
Yeah.
Because in the back of your mind, what are you really thinking? So sometimes people are not really aware of, you know.
And that's a form of feeding their insecurities, you know, when they say certain things and lash out. And it's just another way of feeding their insecurities. But I think the focus group is a start. Like, it's just you and I right now. So I think the next show we have, maybe you invite one person and I invite another person, and then that'll be four people at the table.
Okay.
And then the next show, we'll tell those two people to invite one person each, and then that'll be two more people at the table, so we can start getting more storms of brains to find out what can we do, you know, to make this. Because if you have young girls around you and they see this is how you're acting, all it's going to do is just repeat. The cycle is going to continue to repeat. Exactly. It's going to repeat. And the kids are, they're sponges. So they're going to absorb all of that negative energy that they're putting out. And not only that, if they see, you know, their mom talking to people any kind of way and being rude and being just obnoxious for no reason, this just a form for them to feel like, okay, it's up to me to break the cycle and not do that. Or my mom do it and get away with it. My mom told me I'm a strong woman, so this is how I have to act. And that's just not the way to go.
And some people don't know how to, we don't know how to support each other.
No.
And people think support means just buying something from me.
No.
Something so simple as sharing my flyer, telling somebody about my event, just how I called out one of the young ladies on my interview tonight.
Right.
I've been watching this young lady in the community. It's so something so simple as that. So just lack of knowledge.
Yeah. We got to do better, ladies. I appreciate everyone doing, you know, the empowerment, you know, workshops. I mean, we've done it with Real Women on the Move, and Real Women on the Move has, you know, shifted to a different, you know, path. It's still, you know, active, but we're doing things totally different. But I can't appreciate everyone creating, you know, these empowerment workshops. But what happens after the empowerment workshop is over? Mm-hmm. So now what? You know, so we have to find other ways to continue it once the empowerment workshop is over or the conference is over. Now what? What did you learn from that? What did you gain from that? How are you implementing this in your daily life? Did you pick up the phone and actually contact one of those ladies that was there that you met to actually get to know her and find out who she is and what she really does and how we can collaborate and how I could help you? Oh, I know this person that can do this or that person that can do that. That's my thing. I mean, I know you attend quite a few, you know, conferences. I've attended. I've actually facilitated. I was on the panel. I, you know, even hosted one. For like 4 or 5 years, we was doing Real Women on the Move. And then I think the fifth year is when I realized that this is now becoming a thing. You know, and not something that's important. It's becoming a thing, and I'm seeing everybody doing the same thing. But my question is, what's next after the conference is over? Is there going to be a recap? Is there going to be a recharge? Or are we going to meet up again to find out if everyone is doing what they need to do? So, you know, I know we're probably getting off the subject, but it's still the same subject.
Right.
It's still the same subject, but
it's still around
it's women. Still around women supporting each other, and mainly Black women. And like I said, you know, because I'm on both sides of the fence with Black women and Latin women, I see the difference. And don't get me wrong, Latin women can be, you know, they can be a little vindictive as well, because I've seen it. I see it all the time. But for what I see, like I said, I was raised in the Black environment with Black women, and more than I was with the Latin side. So I see more of the Black side to see, like, okay, what is it that we are lacking? Why we can't, you know, really make this work?
We're lacking the self-esteem.
And
we're lacking the confidence.
That's the insecurities.
So that's when the insecurity comes out and it projects on other people.
Yeah, that's the insecurities. And that's something we definitely need to focus on. So when we do our next show, I will post it out to say we're looking for, you know, well, when we do our next show, it's going to start off with you and I. So you would invite one person and I'll invite one person. And this is going to be a continuous where we're going to keep talking about this until we actually come up with some type of, you know, result or
resolution.
Something. We have to resolve it some kind of way, because it's so much we can do. When we work together as a mass, it's so much we could do.
Yeah.
It's so much we could do. And it's sad to see when other people come to this country and they get all these opportunities because they're doing like this. They're connected. They're connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason where we should. And I know it's hard for us sometimes because they try to do whatever they can to stop us, but they won't be able to stop us if we're coming together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a chain. You know, when a chain links, you can't stop it. You can't stop it.
Once it breaks.
And when it breaks, and that's it. But
yeah,
we have to be the ones to hold it together. So, okay, well, we're going to wrap up the show today. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in quickly. And we are here, like I said, in the beautiful Pembroke Pines, Florida on this sunny day. So we will be, we'll be back. So Tedra, thank you for helping me with this. And like I said, we will let you all know when our next show, so we can do part two of connecting the dots with beautiful Black women. We're going to call it that. All right, everyone. Have a sunny day.